Good evening, everyone. As always, it is our great pleasure to be gathered together as the saints of our holy God, to worship him in spirit and in truth, but to be able to rejoice together and to fellowship with one another. What a beautiful thought to know that our God is among us as well, that as we fellowship with one another, that our God is also here with us, and that he, of course, is receiving this as a sweet-smelling savor in his presence. To our friends, thank you. Thank you for being here tonight. We hope that you are willing to share some of your contact information, and better yet, if you have any questions, if you are willing to stay behind and we can have that biblical discussion, let the Bible answer the questions that you may have, and together, of course, we can walk through Scripture and we can help you find those answers. So thank you for being here tonight. To our visiting brethren as well, we had some this morning. We have some here tonight. Thank you as well for visiting us. Please, as I mentioned earlier this morning, I'll mention to you, take back our love, our embraces, and our greetings here from their brethren at Southeast to your respective home congregations. If you will, please bow with me as we have a word of prayer. Our beloved Father and our heavenly King, hallowed be thy name. We call upon thee, Father, as thy saints, as we strive to stand thee before thee without shame by rightly dividing thy word of truth. Not only, Father, in the study, but more importantly, Father, in our daily application of it. Father, we thank you for sending your Spirit who inspired these men who wrote these words. Thank you for allowing him to be that great revealer, Father. We're grateful for your Son, who gave us the example and showed us, Father, what it is that you so desire from us as well. But Father, we're also grateful for you, for we know that it is your will and it is your desire that was being, Father, fulfilled by sending forth your Son, by allowing your Spirit to inspire these words, and for us to have access to that grace to all who are obedient to the gospel that you approve. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for granting us this great opportunity that truly we are unworthy of. As we, Father, study about Epaphroditus tonight, please be with us, Father, as we seek to continue to mark the blameless man as your inspired psalm writer teaches us, that we may learn from the example of the selfless man, that we may learn, Father, how through selflessness and self-sacrifice, we too can reach, Father, that peace that is promised to those who are in righteousness standing before you. That we, Father, may one day dwell with you in your holy mountain that is promised through Psalm 15. Forgive us, Father, when we have sinned against you. Forgive us when we have not been righteous before thine eyes. Whenever we have given ourselves over to temptation, please, Father, forgive us. But grant us also the wisdom, the humility, and the strength, the boldness, so that we may turn away from our sins, that we may grow, Father, stronger from our falls, and we can make straight what our feet make crooked. So that we, Lord, may be able to continue to walk that straight and narrow path that leads toward that eternal life that you have promised those who are faithful until death. Thank you for these opportunities. And again, we pray this not because we're worthy, but we do it in that mighty and precious name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you will, please go back to Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew chapter 23, I want us to once again read verses 11 and 12. Matthew chapter 23, verse 11 and verse 12. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Examining this passage within the context, remember that Jesus here is making a comparison with the Pharisees. He begins by describing them there in verses 3 and forward. They were people who were unrighteous by always binding heavy burdens upon the people, but they themselves would not even move one finger. They were people who desired to sit in the seat of Moses. They wanted respect. They wanted the first place. They coveted titles. They're people that would broaden their phylacteries because they wanted to be seen by all men. And all these things they did it because they were always chasing fame. They were chasing the love of men. And indeed, as we read in the Sermon on the Mount, well, for those Pharisees who were considered doctors of the law, for those Pharisees who perhaps were indeed called rabbi and respected, they had received their reward. They had received what they were searching for, but the sad reality was that's as far as it had gotten. I want to begin this evening by pointing this out and by showing this contrast that our Lord has left behind for us, because we have been studying in our Bible study that, yes, Psalm 37 verse 37 tells us that we are to mark the blameless man, that we are to mark him because his end is peace. We are to learn from this man. We are to try to become like this man so that we too can stand before God in righteousness and uprightness. But Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and verse 18 also tells us that we are to note, or to stick to the word that we're using for our theme this quarter, we are also to mark the unrighteous man, he who causes division, he who is, through false doctrine and through self-conceit, causing harm among the people of God, the same people which we see fit the description that Jesus gives us here in Matthew 23, verses 3 through 5. You see, the Pharisees were part of a sect, just like the Sadducees. But God has never approved of sects, their splinters, their divisions. Even though they were Jews, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were against one another and were keeping each other apart, very much like we have groups within the church today. But the reason both of these groups were in the wrong is because neither one of them before the eyes of our Lord were great. On the contrary, they were not even good. They were the worst thing that could happen to a gathering of God's holy people. Verse 11 and verse 12, God teaches us what makes a man great. How a man can become not only blameless, but he can be held in high esteem by God himself. A man who, the Bible says, is one who becomes everyone else's servant. This same lesson our Lord had already taught his disciples once before. And this same lesson came because there were two of his disciples who were wanting to one sit on his left side and the other one sit on his right. In other accounts of the gospel, we see that they say that their mother came and petitioned on their behalf that on that day when he would return in his kingdom to be granted to be sitting on his left and on his right. These were positions of honor. These were positions that showed that they were the greatest of all the servants of the king. Clearly, the other 10 disciples were not pleased with this, and the Bible tells us that a dispute happened between them. But then Jesus, once more, reminds them. He teaches them that whomever wants to be greatest among you all, he shall become everyone else's slave. But then Jesus also says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." This is why we have entitled tonight's lesson, Epaphroditus the Great. Because Epaphroditus is simply represented and shown in the letter to the Philippians, always in service. The only thing that we can say about Epaphroditus was that he was a man who was truly selfless. He was a man who imitated Christ so well that we see that Paul includes him in the same chapter where he tells us, have this same mind in you as in Christ. If you will, turn in your Bibles there to Philippians chapter 2. And I want you and I to read very quickly verse 29. Notice what Paul says in regards to Epaphroditus, and as we titled it, the Great. A man who, according to Christ's standards, was indeed great because he was a man who had made himself a servant for all of his disciples' sake. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 29, the Bible reads, "Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such men in esteem." You see, Paul wasn't one to hand out compliments so easily. Paul was not the type who was just going to give his flowers to people. You see, Paul believed in only giving credit where credit was due. In fact, in verses 19 through 24, Paul speaks about how Timothy was the only one that he can say was like him as in regards to his care for the church. But again, in verse 25 through verse 30, he teaches us about the example of Epaphroditus, a man who was blameless and it was to be held in high esteem. A man whom Paul calls my brother, my fellow worker, and my fellow soldier, verse 25. Epaphroditus had laid it all on the line for the banner of Christ. Epaphroditus was willing to give anything and everything that he had in order to serve his fellow brethren. This man was great according to Christ's description because he indeed had made himself not only Paul's servant, but he also made himself Philippi's servant in their service to Paul. You see, brethren, we are to mark Epaphroditus because in Epaphroditus, in the time that has been allotted to us, we're going to see a few points, three if possible, of how we can learn from Epaphroditus how to be great in the kingdom of God. How you and I, like Epaphroditus, can be blameless simply by being selfless. Notice if we begin there again in chapter 2 of Philippians, verses 25 and 26, observe our first point as far as of what we're speaking about. The Bible reads, "Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick." Observe how this man's selflessness is the first point we can talk about. Epaphroditus was blameless because he always placed the needs of others above his own. Go back a few verses in chapter 2. Notice in verse 3 and verse 4 what the Bible reads here in chapter 2. "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." You see, Epaphroditus was the one who became sick. Epaphroditus was the one who was close to death. And yet he was worried about his brethren in Philippi as to how concerned they were for him. "I've disturbed their peace. I've caused and brought worry upon them. I have to go back, Paul. I do not want my brethren to be unattended. I do not want my brethren's mind to be too concerned with my well-being." Epaphroditus, you almost died. And they're worried about me. It's their needs I care about. I don't care what happens to me as long as it doesn't affect them. Notice how a man who is not selfish, how a man who always places value upon others before himself, keeps himself upright and righteous. See, we started off with Matthew chapter 23. Those Pharisees that Jesus warns about, they didn't care about others because if they cared, they would not be placing heavy burdens upon others that they themselves could not move. They would have never been placing these types of things where they knew that it was going to make them fail. Epaphroditus, on the other hand, he knew that just by returning home and showing himself to the Philippians, they would see that he was in good health and he would restore their joy to them. That way their minds were no longer would be distracted with his well-being because there are areas in spiritual affairs that require more of our attention. Epaphroditus was so selfless. He was such a selfless man that he placed the concern of his brethren high above his own welfare. No wonder Paul says, "Hold such men in high esteem." You know, when I was studying this, I thought about an old mentor of mine who's passed away. Not the one that I'm always talking about, but another one that I had, whom I cherish very dearly, Brother Heriberto Martinez. And the reason I love Brother Eddie so much is because I remember when he was alive, our brother, he was on dialysis for a long time. Our brother had tried, if I'm not mistaken, having kidney transplants, and it failed. But the reason I remember Brother Martinez is because even though he was in the hospital, and even though he was going through so many illnesses, you were always the one who came out of the hospital encouraged, comforted, and motivated. You would go visit him because he was the one who was sick. You would go visit him because he was the one that you were trying to encourage, and he would be the one making you feel encouraged. The first question he would ask, and he would always do this before you even open your mouth, is, how are you doing? How can I serve you today? I came to visit you, brother, and this is how you're going to help me. Tell me about your day. Brethren, this was Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus was so selfless that he was always going to place the needs of his brethren above his own. Notice that the same is true as it pertained to Paul. Epaphroditus was there in Rome with Paul because Paul was in prison during this letter's writing. The reason that Epaphroditus had been there with him was because he had taken, on behalf of the Philippian church, the needs that Paul had to cover his cost and to cover his living. By arriving to them, turn with me now to chapter 4. Notice how Epaphroditus, in being selfless, he was also self-denying. He was a man that denied himself. He was a man who was selfless by placing the concerns of others above his own, but this man was willing to give all that he had of his time, of his devotion, above all of himself, in order to minister to others. In chapter 4, notice what the Apostle Paul says, beginning there at verse 17, going into verse 19. The Bible reads, "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Brethren, let's make a small sub-point, if you allow me here. Notice that, like Philip from this morning, Epaphroditus could be trusted. He was an honest man. This man was carrying money on behalf of the Philippian church. The brethren at Philippi knew Epaphroditus, and they trusted him to the point where they chose him to go and take this help, this aid, to their brother in need who had been unrighteously imprisoned. But to come back to our point, Epaphroditus, brethren, delivered it all, says Scripture. You see, Epaphroditus didn't only deliver the money that they had sent, he delivered his time. He delivered his effort, his energy, his attention. Because remember, back then, they didn't have airplanes like we have today. From Philippi to Rome, this was not a safe journey that had to be made. There were thieves that Epaphroditus had to protect himself from. The terrains were dangerous, and we're going to get to that in a few minutes. But pay attention to the fact that this man was ready and willing to do what was necessary to bring aid to his brother, his fellow worker, his fellow soldier. This man was not about to complain about the journey's difficulty. This man was not about to complain about how much time he was going to miss from home. He was not about to complain about all the things that he was not going to be able to get done because he was going to be away from home for so long. He knew that Paul needed this help. And he knew that the church at Philippi needed a messenger to go on their behalf. In a very similar way to what we see there painted by Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, with the difference that at Philippi, the question asked by the elders of that congregation, who will go on our behalf? It was Epaphroditus who said, "Here am I, send me." Brethren, many times we may not have money, but the best thing that we can offer and give one another is our attention and our love. Our company, our fellowship. You know, this morning you were all very excited with our brethren who were here from Dallas. You know, those brethren, they're very special to my wife and I. Like Epaphroditus, the only reason they were here was just to visit us. There was no appointment. There was no other engagement. There was no gospel meeting. There was nothing. They just wanted to come visit us. Do you know how great that feels? Now imagine Paul, who is in prison. Paul, who had been abandoned by his companions. Paul, who had been forsook by those who had accompanied him. And to see that this man traveled all the way from Philippi, not only to give him all that the church of Philippi was sending, but he was ready to minister to him as well. Epaphroditus was great in service because he was selfless, point number one. But as we're saying in point number two, because he was self-sacrificing, he denied himself. He denied himself because, again, he was willing to make this journey. He was willing to give of himself. He was willing not only to give of his time, but he gave of his attention. He ministered to the needs of Paul. He was able to encourage Paul and bring joy to him, which is what this letter stands out from. Epaphroditus was a messenger of joy on behalf of Philippi. They could not have sent a better member to Paul in his greatest hour of need. Brethren, we can be like Epaphroditus. If we give of ourselves, if we simply go and give of our time and sit with people, if we simply allow them to spend time with us and they are the focus of our attention, if we dedicate our time to them and we show them in this moment, while I'm in this room, you are the most important person for me. I am here for you. I am here to tend to you. Paul, brethren, said of Epaphroditus, hold such men in high esteem. Hold such men in high esteem. Why? Because there are so few of them among us. They're counted. There are rare jewels that when we have them amongst us in a congregation, we should cherish them. We should treasure them. You know, I know I'm always giving them a hard time, but in this, I truly say, hold Alex Hernandez in high esteem. Because that is one of his gifts. And I'm being serious right now. Orion probably fell on the back because I'm actually giving him a compliment. But I'm being honest right now. You know, grilling with him during 4th of July, for those of you who don't know, that was actually his idea. The things that we've been doing about fellowship and bringing us together, he's always the first one to sign up. And we all know how goofy he can be. But that's his gift. But I can tell you this, when you're eating lunch with Alex, when you're in a room with Alex, you are his focal point. You are the center of his attention. Brethren, sometimes we can be selfish with our own time, especially with these little objects right here, right? Sometimes we can be talking to someone and all of a sudden while we're talking to them, we're on these things and we're responding, we're trying, and we call it, we're multitasking. But no, in that moment, the message can wait. In that moment, this person who has taken the time to come talk to me should be my focal point. They may not even want to talk about any problems. They just may need my friendship in that moment. Perhaps the best thing I can offer is not advice, but a distraction. And Farrah will agree, Alex is a big distraction sometimes. So notice, brethren, how Epaphroditus was self-giving. He was selfless. He was self-sacrificing. He denied himself. He didn't put himself above the needs of Paul. He did not put himself above the needs of the Philippians. But now let's look at the degree that Epaphroditus was doing this. Go back to chapter 2. Chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 28 through 30 now. Philippians chapter 2, verses 28 through 30. The Bible says, "Therefore, I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem." Now, here's what we didn't read. Why Paul says this. Verse 30, "Because for the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me." Epaphroditus' level of service was exactly as Jesus describes. Whoever wants to be greatest among you, he will become your slave. Notice the level of dedication, devotion, and commitment that Epaphroditus did in service to the brethren in Philippi. But Paul says, to me, he was willing to risk his life. Now, remember how the little nugget that I told you to keep in your mind? We don't know what happened to Epaphroditus. We don't know if he got sick because of exhaustion. We don't know if perhaps the journey was he got sick from some kind of infection or some kind of plant, or perhaps he fell into the hands of thieves like the man from the parable of the Good Samaritan. We don't know. But what we do know is that Epaphroditus was aware of the cost. He was aware of the risks, and he took them anyways. And guess what? Even though he came close to death, even though he was either injured or infectious or whatever the case may be, whatever trouble he went through, it did not keep him from going back to now encourage his brethren the same way he encouraged his brother. Epaphroditus was eager, says the Apostle Paul. He was eager to make this dangerous trip back home. He was eager to do it all over again for the same reason, so that he can minister to his brethren, so that he can be an encourager to them, so that he could be a comforter for them. There was not an obstacle that Epaphroditus was not about to conquer, that he was not about to confront, if it meant that on the other side, he can be a healer to hearts that were hurting either with worry, sorrow, or concern. This man had fallen ill. This man had been so sick that Paul even says that had he died, it would have been sorrow upon sorrow for him. But God had mercy not only upon Epaphroditus, but also on Paul himself. And the first thing this man does, the moment he can bounce back, the moment that he is once again ready to go, is, I need to make the same journey that got me sick, so I can go back because my brethren are worried about me, and I cannot allow them to stay in that condition. I cannot stay, said Paul. I have to go back. My family needs me. Indeed, we should hold such men in high esteem. They're very rare among the world. You know, we hear expressions of men who will take off the shirts off their back. Epaphroditus did more than that. Epaphroditus not only denied himself, Epaphroditus not only gave all that he had, but he carried his cross daily. Yes, he got sick, but he was not about to make excuses when it came to serving his brethren. He was not about to allow whatever illness he went through to become an obstacle to him, to dissuade him or discouraging him from doing what he did best. He was not about to allow what he suffered in the flesh to keep him from using the talent that God had given him. Epaphroditus didn't make excuses. He used what had been granted to him by God, and he used it efficiently. He was devoted. He was committed. But it's beautiful because Paul says, but he's doing this for his brethren. He's doing this for his brothers and sisters. He's loving them as Christ loves us. And in the eyes of Christ, this man is great. It's no wonder Epaphroditus was blameless. A man who was willing to lay it all on the line to love others. A man who learned to love as Christ loves. Turn with me to John. In John 15, notice what Jesus teaches us in regards to the love that you and I should be sharing for each other. John chapter 15, and we'll read verse 12 through 14. John chapter 15, verses 12 through 15, through 14, the Bible reads, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." Epaphroditus did this, didn't he? Epaphroditus did this. He loved Paul as Christ loved Paul. He loved the brethren at Philippi as Christ had loved the brethren at Philippi. Paul says that the reason we are to hold him in high esteem is because this man laid his life for his brethren. He laid down his life for the sake of Christ, in service to Paul, but also in service to the Philippian brethren. But Epaphroditus also was the friend of Jesus, as we sung before we began this lesson. Because he was doing it all in obedience to the greatest commandment of all. He was loving God with all of his being, but he was loving his brother as himself. No wonder Epaphroditus is someone we have to mark. Someone that we see had peace in the end. You see, brethren, when we go back to Philippians, once more, we see there in verse 30, for the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. Brethren, we don't know if there'll be another pandemic. We don't know if we're going to face these challenges again. But we know that diseases are prevalent in this society. We know that these bodies will get sick. But pay attention to the fact that Epaphroditus did not regard his life to supply what was lacking in their service to him. Brethren, are we doing the same? Are we willing to die for the cause of Christ? I'm not being metaphorical here. I'm being literal and direct. Are we truly willing to risk our lives as Epaphroditus did? You know, yesterday I can tell you the names of people who told me they are. Because those neighborhoods that we've been going to, they're not always the safest. And I'm not just talking about crime. People in San Antonio don't know how to drive. And it's a danger. But yet, they make sure to be here every third Sunday of the month. Knowing it's a risk. Knowing that perhaps someone who may be having a bad day may open the door and just be grumpy. Knowing that perhaps someone may decide to take their ire and their anger out on us, but they're still here. Some of our young people who had the privilege to go with, they were still here. Brethren, Epaphroditus gave it all. He held nothing back. His commitment to God and to his kingdom was 100%. He did not hold anything back. He did not hold his time back. He did not hold his attention back. He did not hold his own health back. He made no excuses. He simply served. He was great because he made himself the slave of all. Slaves, brethren, have no say-so in their service to their masters. You know that's the point, right? And that's why Jesus says, whoever's greatest of you all, he will make himself your slaves. He's not going to make excuses. If he sees that you need him, if he sees that you need a resource that he has available, if he sees that whatever need you have, he can supply it, he's not going to keep it from you. Because he feels that it is his responsibility and that it is his task and his duty to tend to your needs. It doesn't matter if he's on the phone with you until 2-3 in the morning. It doesn't matter how busy he may be in the week. If you need a visit, he'll come visit. It doesn't matter. If you've already told him the same story, if you need to say it again, he will act as he's never heard it before and let you say it again. Because if that's what you need, he's going to lovingly and gladly give it to you. Epaphroditus the Great, a man that we can mark, and a man whom, if we want to, can actually imitate. We don't know what miraculous gifts he had. Paul doesn't mention any of them. The only talents that Paul brings up are possible to do still today. Selflessness, self-denial, and 100% commitment in tending and ministering to others. My friend, have you given this over to God? Are you willing to give yourself over to the cause of Christ? Because let me tell you something. Every time you choose not to put on Christ in baptism, every time you choose not to obey, you're holding back a part of yourself from God. You're not giving him your all. You're loving him, sure, but you're not loving him with all your mind. You're not loving him with all your body, and you're not loving him with all your heart and soul. You may be loving him with parts of you, but you're not giving him all. And therefore, you cannot say that you are selfless in how you love God, but the same is true in how you love us. Because we want to be your family. We want to call you brother. We want to call you sister. But outside of Christ, we cannot do that. And every time you choose not to do so, you reject us this great joy of celebrating together, of being family. Do you trust in the power of the gospel? Do you trust that the church, the people, because the building is not the church, that we are going to help you grow and develop your faith? Do you trust that for the joy that we're going to enjoy together, we're ready to help you also grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Family, have you been holding back? Have you been holding back from ministering to one another? Have you been holding back and not wanting to allow us to minister to you because you're embarrassed? That's a selfish thought. We cannot be afraid to confess our trespasses to one another. You see, Epaphroditus, he was not hiding the fact that he was eager to go back because he did not want them to be worried about him. But he also didn't hide from them that he fell sick. He also did not hide from them that he was close to death. Epaphroditus allowed them to minister to him just as much as he ministered to them. You see, brethren, sometimes it's easier to serve others, and it's a lot harder to allow others to serve me. But when that is the case, I am no longer being selfless, I am no longer self-sacrificing, and I am no longer 100% devoted, because I'm putting myself in first place. And I'm denying my brother, my sister, the blessing to extend their love and their fellowship to me. Tonight, you can practice that If you are in need of our prayers, if you are in need of our encouragement, you can respond to the invitation. If you are in need of being baptized for the remission of your sins into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in accordance to his word, you can respond to our invitation as we stand and we sing.